Good evening, Abayisai. Good evening, good evening. They say that Moshe Feinstein was once walking in MTJ's yeshiva. And they say he was walking down. There's so many stories about it. He was all Shiva, more than anything else. He was all Shiva. He was a god of Hadoya, but his job was all Shiva. And he walked in his yeshiva, and apparently once by the staircase down, I was never in his yeshiva in MTJ, but apparently stairs going down, or there was at least in those days stairs going down, and there was a tissue on the floor. And Moshe Feinstein, without hesitation, he was in his 70s, 80s, so I don't know how old he was, he bent down, he picked up the tissue, and he put it in the dustbin. It sounds like such a one line, it doesn't sound like such a... but if you think about it, there's a depth to this story, because Moshe Feinstein, of course, where he came from was Meiro Mikdosh. He appreciated the Kedusha of the... It wasn't even the Beis Medrash, it was the stairs leading to the Beis Medrash. And really, there's no halach. We're not going to find... I don't think we're going to find an explicit halach about picking up tissues. Don't think Mishnah Berurah speaks about taking litter from the... used tissues from the floor of the Beis Medrash. But certainly the underlying yesod is certainly this appreciation of the Kedusha of a Beis Medrash. I want to add something before we actually go into the greater details of the halachas. There is a certain sensitivity. I think that many of the shailas of the contemporary poskim are not even discussed. But it's just something that it's an awareness more than anything else. I remember the first time I saw somebody with a computer in a Beis Medrash, and it hit me. It was a number of years ago. Somebody was actually typing his chidush haTorah on a computer, and I remember the first time I actually saw it. It hit me. Now we see it every day, and it doesn't hit us anymore. It's about sensitivity, which somehow vanishes over there. You just see it, and you get numb to it, and it doesn't affect you anymore. The first time I saw it, it hit me. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm just saying that the first time I saw it, I felt that I felt something. I questioned it. Now I don't question it anymore. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I think that the underlying is so, we're going to see many halachas, and some of them are very relevant, some are less relevant, some are very hard to keep, some are less hard to keep. But I think that more than anything else, the underlying yesod behind that is that as we enter Beis Medrash, we should appreciate its Kedusha. I mentioned yesterday briefly the Siddur Eishes Tshuva, and I just want to speak about this a little bit more in detail. The Siddur Eishes Tshuva, in which he explains the fact that in some countries, and England is one of those countries, they spend sometimes fortunes on building beautiful shuls. And the question asks, sure, you could have fed hundreds of people, dozens of families, Yisoymin Almonos, for the money of these beautiful shuls. Why is it so important? Why is it so important to the situation? And I really do appreciate, and I do understand there's various mysterious in that, and some kelas are not makpid on that, and on building expensive and beautiful shuls. But to explain that minik, the Siddur Eish, who actually came initially from Lithuania, was Lithuanian origin, but he moved to Germany just in the 1920s, 1930s. And he said that the reason for that is simply to give us the real opportunity of Meiro Mikdash. He said, when a person feels the Meiro Mikdash, he goes into a shul, and it's a inspiring shul, and it's a shul that you just feel the presence of something special here. He said, there's no greater inspiration to a person. No greater. This is better than 100 doshas and 100 musa shmuzen. You could go into a place which, by definition, makes you feel this is a heiliger place. And this is really what Meir Mikdash is all about. So as to whether we have physically those shuls or we don't have those physically, but certainly that feeling, that emotion, and that sense should be something we should be working on. Going into the greater details, let us continue with the Shulchan Aruch. Before we proceed, there's one halacha which is not discussed in Mishnah Berurah, and I wonder what you think about it. We learned yesterday about the Knos, about Simon Kofen and Aleph, Sif Aleph. We learned no Kaluzoish, no Schoik, no sicha beteila, don't eat and drink in a shul. We'll speak more about that in Mitzvah Shem. Loi metailin. The question which I would like to address at this point, we spoke about no melochas, we spoke about baking in shul. What about, is this referring specifically to the actual Beis HaMedrash or also the Ezes Noshim? Important question. Does it also affect the Ezes Noshim, yes or no? It's part of the shul, man of Kamina. It's not, it has no shame, it's not a shul, it has no shame. Very good, Very good. Please expand on this a bit. Above you, right? So, Reb Naftali Yisrael HaKohen claims that is a distinction as to whether where it is built, what where exactly, if it's part and part of the downstairs domain, one could argue it's got the same level of kedusha. If it is on a higher level, on a higher level, then it's not part of the kedusha. It's interesting. The mice of the post can speak about it. There's machlokes from the both extremes. Some argue that it's got exactly the same level of kedusha. And some argue that it's posh, that there's no Kedushin as is Noshim. So it actually remains a machloikas. Pardon? Right, so you're saying that it should be Rishus Bifnei Atzmo. Right. You're saying that it should be posh. Yeah, I hear. Robert Feingold claims that it's... Pardon? He said that it's no different than a bima. A bima's got, if it's on the height and a few steps on the sides, and it's got a Rishus Bifnei Atzmo, then a bima's, it's a Rishus on its own. So it's and therefore halachas it's a separate unit. So similarly, as Noshim also is a separate area on its own. So the kedusha that has the main shul has got does not touch onto as Noshim. That's what. Did I misinterpret you? Yeah. Okay. So that's. I think the lichoy also has a little bit got to do with what. How is it used? Is it just used for women once a week? Is it used throughout the whole week? I know that in some shuls as Noshim. And especially Yerushalayim, the Ez Noshim is the whole week is used as a Bes Medrash. And that's where Yidin learn, that's where Yidin daven, that's where, on the other occasion, on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, it's used as Ez Noshim. There one could argue that it's actually part of the shul, it's really the shul. And it's not really, as a secondary option, it's also used as Ez Noshim. But it's not really, I mean, it's beyond that, it's more than that, yeah.
If it was part of the shul, it wouldn't be a base
measure,
it would be a base Knesset, and you would measure
right.
down there anyway.
Yeah.
So, by definition, it can't be part of the shul.
Yeah, I hear that. So, it could be. Okay, so I'm leaving that as a question mark because it is a machlokes achronim. Okay, I would like to move on because we spoke yesterday about not entering the shul. I'm reading the words of Shulchan Aruch again. Top line of page Lamed Beis. Lo nichnosim bohem bechamo pnei achamo v'kshomim pnei akshomim. Do not enter a shul. Don't enter the shul in the heat, because of the heat. You want to protect yourself from the sun. Don't go into the shul because it's just a bit cooler. If it's raining, don't enter the shul to find shelter from the rain. It's pelting outside. Going into shul for protecting yourself from the rain. You can't do that. It's lack of Moira Mikdosh. However, Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to do so. They're allowed to eat and drink in shul as well. I would like to now see Sifkot Dalet in Mishnah Bura says the following. It's the second line from the wide lines. Mipnei Achamo. Loi mehani sheikro o yishne me'at beknisose kedele kamon. Just because, we're going to see later, there is such a concept of learning enable you to enter. So here you can't. Just because it's raining, don't go into shul and just learn for a minute and say, I've come to learn over here and it happens to be raining outside. You can't do that. You can't just go into shul, learn for a minute when it's mamish really hot outside. Shul is air conditioned. You can't just go into shul, enjoy the air conditioned Bes Medrash and just learn for a minute. For two, so we open up a sefer, and that's how, just to be yoitze. You can't do that. If you are genuinely going in because of the weather circumstances, you're not allowed to do that. It's a lack of Moira Mikdosh. We're going to see sometimes there is that leak loophole, but not in this area. I said that the reason being, you can go, there's alternative places you can go. If it's raining, why are you going to shul? Go to the next door neighbor. Go to the shop. Go to somebody else. It's not the only place that you can protect yourself from rain. Why are you dafka going to shul? The reason why you're picking the shul out of all the other places is just a lack of Moira Mikdosh. So don't do that. Im loy, shei osak mekoyin ba'ezet v'alocha b'chutz v'schul akshom leit. If you're anywhere learning, you're made of learning anyway, and then it's raining and you're going inside, okay, that's something else, because you're learning. You're learning outside, and it's starting to rain, you can go inside, that's fine. That's fine. Because you're learning. Fine, you can continue learning in Bismadush. Shaz Mutala di Konitla Bais Hamedrash Kedush Lat Yidu Akshamim. Yeah. Now, there is a next Mishnebuntz of Cotton Hay. He's going to the topic of eating and drinking. We will speak more about this. We will speak more about eating and drinking at a later point. A later Seif speaks about eating and drinking again. Mishnebuntz here just mentioned something which I'm worried I'll forget, so I'm going to bring this Mishnebuntz over here. Kisidron, Seif Cotton Hay, Mutom, we speak about eating and drinking. For Wadin, he says that not only Talmidei Chachomim are allowed to eat, as we say in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to eat and drink in Beis Medrash. Why is that? Rabbi Yisai, why is the Talmud Chochma allowed to eat in Beis Medrash?
Because he saves time from the break, though he's learning.
Yeah.
And if you go out to eat and drink, it's like his place of residence.
Yeah. So the Bialocha's nusach is, if you look in the Bialocha, he says, Tzoich mitzvah kidei shel isbatal milimudoi. It's in order that he shouldn't cancel off and lose from his learning. So it's a very practical point that if you're losing out from learning, then you're allowed to eat in Beis Medrash. But of course, the question, of course, is still going to remain. What still remains questionable? When are we eating in the Beis Medrash? Yeah, but Suda Shlishis, right? If there's a communal Suda Shlishis, Avos Avonim, what else? Kiddush. That's all not is batel milimudoi. This will answer, is batel milimudoi will answer if somebody's learning in a kollel, or is learning beyond the kollel, and he just needs a bit of a drink, he needs a coffee to keep himself, so he needs to eat something quickly. So fine. So that would allow him to learn. Shule is batel milimudoi. We haven't got an answer yet for the kiddush, for the avos avonim. We haven't got an answer for that yet. I hope we'll get an answer. But at this point, it's not. But the Mishnah says, if Cotton Hay, an additional heter, different heter altogether. So if Cotton Hay, the Mishnah says, Mutorim vuadini mutzuchu anshu'ir, lefisha lehachil b'em oichim aniyim. Poor people coming from out of town. Poor people, they've come, they're hungry, they're starving, they have nowhere to eat, they have nowhere to stay. The only place they're going to, remember, in previous generations, the only place they could really, they would go in the back of the Ezra's Noshim, where there would be benches, where they would hang around there for as long as necessary. The Rav Shach himself was for months and months sleeping on a bench in shul for many months. There was nowhere. They were so poor. They had nowhere to go. They had nowhere to go. So where would the only place that they could be overnight would be in shul? And sometimes, so if a person is in that kind of situation, you want to feed poor people who never have come out of town. They are poopy, they have nothing to eat, they have nowhere to stay. Let them be in the Beis Medrash, let them.
He said that it's fine. This is only in Chutz La'aretz, and we'll speak about that. That's because of the Tznai. Okay. Now, I want to point out also the Ramah, which says, we're learning now there's a distinction between the Beis HaMedrash is permitted. We're learning that the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash are on an equal level. What would you have expected between a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses? What would you have expected to be more of a shaila, more of a problem to eat? Yeah. Beis HaKnesses is more of a shaila. Why? It's meant for davening. Oh. So which one is called Muktusha? Pardon? So, it's interesting that it's a bit of a discussion, but really, a Beis HaMedrash has got more Kedusha, because it's used for learning and davening, so Beis HaMedrash has got more Kedusha. However, here we are learning that the Beis HaMedrash is not more strict, on the contrary. Mishnah Berurah explains that in Sifkot and Ches, and he says, Yesh on the Vesant, after Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash chamur yoisim Beis HaKnesses, although it's true that a Beis HaMedrash got more Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses, כדי לקמון סימן קופן גימל צייף א', סביר עלי דלעינן חכומים ותלמידים שלא ימדים שם בכביס, התירו להם אפילו שלא ימדו יחק. It's permitted, nevertheless, although a Beis HaMedrash got more Kedusha, we are equally lenient. Why? Because that's where people learn. So that's where putting it more relevant for them to eat and drink. Because that's where you're learning. Beis HaKnesses you don't learn. Beis HaMedrash you learn. Beis HaKnesses you don't. And therefore, if there's need to be Mekel, you're going to have to be Mekel in a Beis HaMedrash as well, despite its Kedusha. Okay, I would like to move on now. Last two words of page Lamed Beis. We don't make any cheshbonos. So if you want to make in a shul, you want to make your accounts, bookkeeping, if you want to make your cheshbonus, don't do it in a Beis HaKnesses. Elohim kenim shel mitzvah. Unless you are making cheshbonus shel mitzvah, you are making the account of the shul. You have got cheshbonus to make, you have to figure out the finance of the shul or any mitzvah purpose, it's fine. That would be Elohim kenim shel mitzvah. You go in kupa shel tzedak v'pidyon shvuim. You raised funds for pidyon shvuim to redeem some prisoners. You can do that. You can do that in shul as well. Ve'ein maspidim bohem. Okay, an additional mitzvah, an additional issa is hesped. You are somebody who was nifta. Don't make the hesped in shul. True or untrue? Hesped in shul. Oh, you're saying it's not true. You're right. Why is that? Which hesped are you aware of that was in a shul? Tain Lopian, right? Zichron Livracha. Very good. And others as well. So what's pshat? So we're going to carry on the Shulchan Aruch, second line of page 64. Ein maspidim bohem, Elohim kein, ya hesped le'erchot migdoy le'yo'ir. If you're talking about the godoil of the city, shekol bnei yo'ir miskaptzim uvoim la'aspidoy, that the entire city is gathered to come to be maspid this person, then you are allowed to maspid him. So a hesped of a godel is fine to do in a shul. Mishneh Berurah says there's actually two parts to this. Sefkot Nyud in Mishneh Berurah. Shemeis kroivush la godel. One case is if the tzaddik, the godel, had his close relative was nifta. So everybody wants to come to this godel to give him the cover, to menachem him. So shemeis koivish la godel machma ze boim rabim lehesped. Many are coming to the hesped because the godel is himself, his close relative, his nifta. So to come in honor of the godel, ve'kolchken, and even more so, case number two, shahespedu al tamid chochem, if the tamid chochem himself was nifta. So there's two cases in which you'd be allowed to make a hesped in a shul. Case number one is if the tzaddik himself, his close relative, was nifta. So you're allowed to give him the cover that he's allowed to make the hesped in shul. He's allowed to get the honor of his close relative in the shul. And the second case, if the godel himself was nifta, then a hesped is also appropriate in the city, because in the shul, because that's where Heber is gathering in his honor. However, yeah, Mishneh Berurah continues now in the name of Ari. Ari Yoniza Ma'od Shlo Ledaber Beis HaKnesses Rak Tfilosoi. Ari HaKadosh was makpet that he would not talk in shul, rak philosophy, only daven in shul. Hafilu divrei musa lo diba, even musa, he wouldn't speak in shul. He wouldn't take up misilat shorim. Well, if there would have been a misilat shorim, he wouldn't have discussed musa, hashkofa, hira shemaim. He wouldn't do that in shul. Penyin moshe yechmenu divrei chol, lest he may develop into a conversation of chol. So therefore, his approach was, you only come to shul to daven, not a word beyond tefillah. That means it appears he wouldn't even learn there. Why do you think that generally the approach nowadays is not like the Ari? I think that it's very interesting that Mishneh Berurah quotes this Ari, but I think that generally the approach is not like that nowadays. I think that generally nowadays we are trying to get people to learn in shul, and if there is musa, it's going to be in shul. If there is, we're going to see soon about eating and drinking, and we're going to see that eating and drinking is a problem, as we mentioned earlier. Eating and drinking in shul is a problem. So why are we dafke eating and drinking? Why is there shalashudas? Why is there kid? Why is generally the approach? It appears as if we have an agenda over here. Why are we getting everything in shul? Why is that? And I think this Ari is a good place to ask this question. Mishneh Berurah said the name Ari. He only came to daven. Why don't we have the same? Why don't we go without mahalach at all? Why?
Maybe people nowadays, I don't know if it's wrong to say, aren't on the same madriga.
Clearly.
And therefore, they need the shul as a focus for davening, suda shlishis, kiddush, and other things that wasn't so necessary for a person of his madriga, and perhaps other people, because they say the generation,
true.
Drops.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely true. Any other thoughts? Very good. I think I very much agree with you. I think that the reason why we don't, the Gdolim and the Mahalach and the Mesoira and the Minik doesn't seem to be going so much in line with that. And nowadays we're trying to get people as much as possible to come to the Beis Medrash, even if it is not mamash in line with what the Mishneh Berurah quotes in the name of the Ari. I think the reason is, pardon?
Is that for Beis HaKnesses?
Right, so we learned earlier that it's both Bezek Knesset and Beis HaMikdash. Look at Mishneh Berurah, Seif Katan. I mean, the Mikdash Me'at is relevant to both. It's yes, right. Yeah, you're right. So maybe as far as learning concerned, you're right. Yeah. So I think that the answer generally, though, on a more general picture, is because, as you're saying, that nowadays we're on a very low madrega, we're different, we're just different. And if we wouldn't gather in a Beis HaMikdash, where would we gather? Where would we end up? So we have over here an additional ulterior kind of mahalach over here that we're trying to get people as much as possible in a Beis HaMikdash. Yes, they'll end up talking. It may be beyond tefillah, and it's going to be beyond. It may be indeed, and we're not trying to justify it. But the reason why the mahalach generally is because we're trying to get people as much as possible to be in the Beis HaMikdash. If they're not in the Beis HaMikdash, where are they going to be? So therefore, I think that's probably why the hakpot is not so much like this Mishneh Berurah saying in Nedarim. But this is just a thought and a suggestion that I might be completely wrong. Let's carry on. Shulchan Aruch now continues with the next case, which is the following. Okay, a person who goes to shul for his own personal benefit. He needs to do something in shul. His own reason. Not to learn, not to daven, and not, it's just for his own personal reason. So, kagoin such as likoy la'odom, he needs to call a person. He needs to have a conversation with a person, he needs to meet a person, not for Torah-related matter, just he needs to have a conversation, a meeting with his friend. So, and the person is to be found in shul. So what is he meant to do? Can he just go to shul and get him out? Can he just go to shul and have a meeting with him in shul? So he says, even just entering in shul is a problem. So what are you meant to do? He kones, go to shul, ve'yikro me'at, learn a little bit. Oi, alternatively, yoima dovo dvar shmua, say a learning, something you know by heart. I don't know, dvar shmua, halacha that you know. Ve'achakach, and after that you're going to call him. So go to shul, learn a word, learn a minute, and then call him out. Whether it's something in writing, or something you know by heart, and then call him out. Kedei, in order, shalo yinir keilo nichmas etzok, as if then at least you haven't just purely come for getting him, but you've done something else besides that as well. We call that in English a... What? Harama. Yeah, well, it's not very far from that. It's... Good, we can't, we'll see soon, Mishnah will address this point. What happens if he needs to meet that individual, but he happens to be, he's just unable to learn a word. He's mamashlam oretz, lekolades. He can't even learn, he can't do anything. So what is he meant to do? So he's got a problem over here, he can't go to shul just to call him out. So, he's going to get one of the children over there from one of the local children, and he's going to ask him, my choshva boy, can you just help me out for a minute? Call me pasuk chapter koyer boy. Maybe can you learn me a pasuk? Can you teach me a pasuk from what you're learning now? Can you just teach me a pasuk for a moment? Or yishem me'at, alternatively, wait for a moment, ve'achkach yetze, and afterwards go out. Pardon? He won't know this halacha. That's right. Otherwise, he could be able to do that. Absolutely, yeah. Shei shivu ben mitzvah. Alternatively, at the very, very least, what he can do, just go into shul, sit down for a moment. Shei shivu ben mitzvah. The actual sitting in a shul is a mitzvah, per se. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Asher yoshve beisecho. Blessed is the person, yoshve, who is sitting beisecho in your house. Vishira yeshiva, and how long does that sitting need to be in order to be fulfilling a mitzvah? Kidehiluch shnei psochim, walking between two psochim, which is literally a mamash short time. So we're learning, you can't just go to shul to call him out. Just don't go to shul to call him out. Rather, go into shul, learn for a moment, and then call him out. And if you can't learn yourself, ask a child to teach you something. And if there's no children around, then at least go into shul, sit there for 2 minutes before you call him out. Because asher yeshu v'sech, to sit in a shul is a mitzvah on its own. We're learning over here a yesoid, that if you need to... So we're learning over here that this will help. So, your question is an interesting question. Rabbi Kagan, can you just repeat your question? Good. So, Rabbi Kagan's question is as follows. Why is it that you can go to shul to call somebody else out, and there you can do the legal loophole of learning for a moment, and then you call him out, as opposed to when it came to the rain... If you're going to shul for the rain, You can't do that. You can't just learn for a moment and then just shelter, get shelter from the rain. What's the difference? Do you hear the question? Put in question, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, very nice. Beautiful, yes. Good. Very much in line with that. So the answer is what the Mishnah Berurah points out, that because there's an alternative. There is an alternative. The Lomda says there is an alternative place to go. The reason why I picked up the shul is the ultimate lack of Meir HaMikdash. Why choosing the shul for shelter? Why? Why? It's a lack of Meir HaMikdash. You could have gone elsewhere. Therefore, just to be yotz about saying apostolic is not going to help. When you need to meet that individual, there's no option. That's where he is now. So you can find yourself you can find yourself a legal loophole by just learning for a minute, and that you'll be yotze. What about, there's an Issa of Kapandria. We're going to see that in a minute. Let's guess if we can work this out. What would be the halacha? We're going to see that in Sif Hey. You know, let's get, hopefully we'll get there now. Yesh oimrim Sif Beis. Some say, Shemash, Shonino Bikdush, Beis HaMedrash. When we learn that there's a level of Kedusha in a Beis HaMedrash, then when it's similar to a Beis HaKnesses, what happens if a person who has got a big house and he makes a Beis HaMedrash Beis HaMedrash in his house? There was one place in Stamford Hill, in Craven Walk, a person who had quite a beautiful house, and he made it downstairs. Anybody in Ponovich in Stamford Hill? Yeah, you must have been. Yeah, for sure, it was Ponovich in Stamford Hill. What's that? There is here. Just one. Just one? Yeah. I get you now, yeah. Yeah, so that was a private property, but the whole downstairs was a shul. So he says, if a person makes his house, he makes a besmetrish there, which it's in his private property. It's his own private place. It just allows other to use. He allows it. He enables people to use as a besmetrish, but really it's his own house. There isn't such a level of kedusha there. The kedusha there is not so high. So if you need to do any of the halachas that we mentioned earlier, it's much more lenient there because it's not really the kedusha of besmetrish is not chal there so much. So if it's about finding shelter or protecting yourself from rain, all those halachas, they're going to be much more lenient because the kedusha there is on a lower level. Let's carry on. Siv Gimel, ein yishen beveis haknesses. You're not allowed to sleep in a beis haknesses. Afilu shnas arai, even if it's just a temporary little shlof, as opposed to the gesunte ones. We all know the difference. Ein yishen beveis haknesses afilu shnas arai. Afilu beveis hametosh mutu ben beveis hametosh. You're allowed to have a little nap in a Beis HaMedrash is permitted. Why is that, Rabbi Yisai? Why is it in a Beis HaMedrash you're allowed to?
Because in a Beis HaMedrash, you don't want the gap from learning.
Exactly. Yet again, the same reason, correct, as you're saying, has eating and drinking have been a Beis HaMedrash. A person who is learning would be allowed to do that. Similarly, also, the Yeshenim of his also is on the same level. So Mishnah Berurah is actually in Mefakbek Bezei, in the name of Kiveg, if you look in Sifkotten Tezayin, Avul Beis HaMedrash Mutar Roi Tzilei Mashnas Arai. Not real sleeping, but just Shinas Arai. I'm Bechadushay, Rebbe Kiveg is Mefakbek Bezei, Rebbe Kiveg is unhappy with his Heter. No, you can't sleep you can't fall asleep in a Beis HaMedrash. Ve'efshe de kivin she Beis HaMedrash, Osu Lishay Sham Zman Harbe, Lidme v'lishmeti v'toy v'koshe le'zoy Mishnas Arai. It's impossible. It's nearly impossible not to sleep in a Beis HaMedrash if somebody is constantly learning there. Harken lo yosu zel yishum odom. V'letam t'chokma lo yimajom ekviyas muta afilo shemaska. So he said that actually it's very hard to hold yourself back from sometimes sleeping. He says that therefore, Bekveig is mefak because he doesn't like it so much. He said, but if a person really needs to, Shnas Arai is permitted in a Beis HaMedrash. But if possible, one should definitely try to avoid that. Talmud Chochem, however, is more lenient with regards to Talmud Chochem.
If someone is asleep in the shul, you have to wake them up.
Good question. Good question. To protect them from the Issa, or... I would say that considering the fact that there are Meikilim,
In a shul.
In a shul proper. Not in a Beis HaMedrash. In a Beis HaKnesses, probably yes. The answer probably yes. In a Beis HaMedrash, I would argue that since there is room for leniency, you probably can't wake him up. Yeah. Okay, just to recap very quickly what we learned tonight. We carried on learning the halachas of Moira Mikdash. We learned about eating and drinking, which is permitted for Talmidei Chachamim in a Beis HaMedrash Midoichak. We learned about Chishbonos is also, even unless it's Chishbonos Shal Mitzvah. We spoke about Hespedim, that Hespedim is permitted on the two possibilities. We learned about going into a Beis HaMedrash to call somebody out. We learned that he's allowed to just learn and then do that. And we spoke about the difference between that and shelter. We also learned about a personal private Beis HaMedrash, the Kedush is not fully chal there. And finally, we learned about sleeping, that Shinas Arai is permitted in a Beis HaMedrash, if about the Rebbe Kivir is mefak by Bezeh. And more on the eating and drinking and additional halachas will follow tomorrow.